Mwen di bonjou pou tout moun. Bonjou. Mwen kay preche an patwa. Now, I want to thank you this morning, Pastor. You and your wife visited us in St. Lucia. We really appreciated your preaching. I want to say thank you to the church for allowing your pastor to come to St. Lucia. We were blessed by his ministry. He's different than me, and I enjoyed the preaching so much. I am more. But Pastor is so smooth. So we are different, but both of us love God. Thank you, Pastor, and your wife graciously ministered to us. And I'm looking forward for some of you to come to St. Lucia. You will enjoy the ambience. If you want to have a second honeymoon, do not have it here. Come down to St. Lucia. And by the way, it is the number one honeymoon spot in the whole world. The ambience, the atmosphere, wow. And we invite you to come over where you shall enjoy St. Lucia. The ambassador, our High Commissioner Guy Mayers, I was so glad to see you at the airport. And we were apprehensive to come to England, but you assured us that everything is okay. When I arrived, I saw him. I said, wow, thank God. And he made all arrangements. We were just taken out smoothly. We want to thank you. He and his wife has been very good host to us. And this young man came from our church as a little boy. You never know what God could do. Amen. I saw a few children, and I love children. Our church is filled with children, and I love children. You never know what you have. Mr. Guy Mayers came from humble beginning, and his theme is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. And God has added to this man. Through him, I am also blessed. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador, Mr. High Commissioner, for taking good care of us. And this is a small world. Portia, she used to call me to conduct weddings at Sandal Grand. And here I sat there, and this nice lady came smiling at me. And she told me, I am Portia, used to conduct my wedding at the hotel. God bless you. Good to see you here this morning. If I used to mistreat you, the smile I saw on your face wouldn't be there. Thank you for smiling, and thank you for receiving me. I have been married for 50 years. This is Mrs. Charles. She has been good to me. She never allowed me to cook. She used to chase me from the kitchen, get out of my kitchen. But now, things have changed. I am the one who cooks. Because she cannot cook as she used to. And when my wife tells me, my food is good, I feel proud. Thank you for being there for me all these years. And it's my turn now to treat you well, and I will try. God bless you. I have preached in many churches. I have preached about 53 years. I have preached in the United States of America, Canada, South America, the Caribbean. And it's my first time in the UK. And I told my friend Guy, I don't know how to preach here. I think I know. He told me it's the same thing preached. So I will be myself. And I will declare unto you the word of God. Amen. Amen. Now we at Faith Baptist Church, God has blessed us. And we have an extension program which has already been approved. I would like you to pray for us. We want to be part of you as you are part of us. Amen. Amen. We all are in that together. God is blessing us. Sunday morning, church is filled. We thank God for that. I thank God for you. I see quite a few people here this morning. And I am asked to preach a message that we fan into flame the gift of God, or stir up the gift that God has given to us. Spiritual gift, spirituality. And I want to bring you a message this morning concerning overcoming spiritual at-easeness. Now we see in churches, God's people are spiritually at ease. In other words, we are taking things easy, things nice. And I want to tell you, God is trying to wake us up, to stir us up, to give us what I call spiritual injection, that the power of God will fall mightily upon us and we shall rise to serve God. Let me pray, Father, we thank you for this time. Bless your words to us. Bless Pastor Ray and his wife and all the elders of the church and all the church. Now, Lord, I pray for an overpouring of your spirit upon thy servant, that I may minister to the word of God to your people. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I turn to the book of Psalms chapter 123, and I would read to us from the King James Version. It says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwelleth in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servant look unto the hand of the masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God till he had mercy upon us." Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. I am bringing to us a message this morning to stir up our desire. These days, there seem to be the desire to serve God, seem to be dying. Many people are telling us that there is no God. And I read an article whereby they were claiming, the writer was saying, is it arrogant, uneducated people to believe in God? Telling us, is it arrogance, uneducated people to believe there is a God? I will turn it around. It is arrogant. And those who are educated to think that there is no God. There is a God. And you sang that song this morning. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. It's a fool to believe there is no God. And now we have replaced God with pleasure, with other things. There is a God. And God's people are now at ease. It appears that we don't care. It appears that we are not concerned about serving God, about pleasing God. Now, this psalm is a psalm where David wrote concerning a condition that existed in Israel, where the people of God were spiritually at ease. The fire had not been blowing. The fire was dampened, as though we throw water on the fire, and fire must burn. But there comes a time we take water and we quench the fire. God tells us, quench not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to purify us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to change us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. But we say, no! We quench. We throw water upon the fire of God. We throw water upon the Spirit of God. We fail to do what God wants us to do. We don't hear from God. We close our eyes and our ears to the voice of God. God is talking. God is able. But we tell God, no. I will do what I want. I'm happy the pastor mentioned about healing. We're going to call on the altar. We're going to call you at the altar. For physical healing, for spiritual healing, for an outpour of the Spirit of God to burn on spirituality, to light us, that we have a passion and a fire to serve God. Amen. Just now we're going to make the altar call, but I must preach first. Amen. I will try not to be too long, but boy, I cannot finish this message. Psalms 123 is one of the 15 psalms sung by the pilgrims as they make the compulsory 3-yearly journey to Israel. God told the Jews, every male must appear before me in Jerusalem at least 3 times a year, and not with empty hands. When you appear before God, when they make the 3-yearly pilgrims to Jerusalem, even though they were worshiping in various parts, but every male had compulsory, mandatory. You can't say no. You can't say no. God say every male must appear before me 3 times a year in Jerusalem, not with empty hands. You can't say no. Even though you're worshiping in Gilead, in Judea, but you had to appear in Jerusalem 3 times a year, all male. Poor, rich, black, white, it doesn't matter, slaves or not. You had to appear before God. It was the central worshiping place. And as they would ascend, they would sing. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And they would also sing that psalm. It's a psalm that describes that Israel had gone down. They were cold concerning spiritual things. They were still with God. But there comes a point. We are in church, But our hearts are far from God. Am I talking to you? If I'm talking to you, say amen. I'm saying there comes a time you are in church, but your heart is far from God. Am I talking to you? Feel an emptiness, a vacuum, as though God is far from us. And I hate when my heart is so cold, when the Spirit of God cannot talk to me. And when the Spirit speaks, when the Spirit tells me, obey God, I close my eyes and I say no. Israel had reached that place, and God wanted to bring back Israel to himself. And they would sing that psalm, and their hearts will be touched because they were getting cold. The fire was out. The fire was being quenched. And God wanted them to stir up. You know, it takes work. Pastor, the Bible tells us that the priest every morning had to come to the temple of God, put on the special garment, put all the ashes, rake all the ashes, put it aside, then put another garment and take the ash out into a special place and come back and lay the wood on the fire. You know what the Bible says? The fire must never go out. The fire must never be quenched. It must burn and burn and burn and burn all the time. The fire must not go out. I'm afraid the fire is out. I'm afraid God is talking to us, but we are not listening. I'm afraid we are closing our eyes. We are closing our ears. We are closing our hearts to what God is telling us. So it takes work for the fire to consume. And this psalm is reminding the people of God, return to God. You are at ease spiritually. Return to God. It says, number one, lift up our eyes unto God. Lift up our eyes to God in prayer. Many times we have to say, oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, make me come back to you even though I don't want to. Have you said that prayer? That God is talking to you. You don't want to obey God. But you tell God, Lord, make me, mold me, use me, cause me to turn to you. So the psalmist is saying, lift up our eyes unto God in prayer. We lift up our eyes for direction. We lift up our eyes for direction. And he says, as the eyes of servant look unto the hand of their masters, as the eyes of maiden upon the hands of the mistress, so our eyes wait upon you. In Old Testament, the servant would look at the hands of the masters. He will direct them, do that. And when the master say, I'm not talking about slavery. I'm not talking about slavery. You work, and your boss tell you, come. Won't you come? Your boss paying you. And if you don't want to obey your boss, leave the job. Find another boss. And when the boss talk to you, you must follow instruction. When God is talking to us, You get it? Obey is better than sacrifice. When the master tell the servant, come over, the servant comes. The eyes of the servant are always upon the master. What happened when Christ was on earth? Peter said, let me come down and walk. And he began to walk. Walk upon the sea, upon water. Wow. Water, water. But his eyes were upon Jesus. He did not see the trouble. But when he removed his eyes on Jesus, he saw the water. He began what? To sink. And when we remove our eyes from Christ, we sink. Right here this morning, some are sinking in deep, deep, deep waters. And by the grace of God, I ask you this morning to put your eyes back on Jesus. Put it back on Jesus. Then you will be on safe ground. If not, we will sink. I'm glad to see this clip this morning. Confession, forgiveness. And all people will do us things. People will hurt us. Don't look at what people do. Look at Jesus, who forgave you of all your sins. And if Christ can forgive me of my sins, I can forgive anyone. We must have a forgiving spirit. That's why we have to keep our eyes upon Jesus at all times. There are situations that cause us to look to God, to wait upon the Lord for deliverance. Wait upon the Lord for help. We cannot help ourselves. Some situations are beyond us. The more we try, we sink, we sink, we sink. You see here this morning, there are some here that have problems with their husbands. How do I know? I know. There are some wives that are crying. Things are not working well. You are in bondage. There are some, your children are causing you to cry. Your children are disobedient. The more you talk, we have difficulty these days for our children to serve God. You must keep your eyes on Jesus to be encouraged. Because the world seems to be taking them away and causing pain to parents, causing tears to parents. The more you talk, the more they disobey. This is the end of the last days. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. I say, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. And not on the problem, because there will be problems, but we must learn to keep our eyes upon Jesus for direction, for strength. And some of these older ladies know. Days long by, when I raised as a young man, when my mother talked to me, I dare not disobey. If I disobeyed, this lady will call me and give it to me strong. Lay it upon me. And I will cry. And I must obey. What is happening these days? Our children do whatever they want. And poor us must say, Lord, help me. It happens to me. All of us, which means keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Only he can help us to go through what we go, and our eyes are upon thee, Lord. Direct us. The situation you are facing is beyond you. You need God. You need to turn to God.
You need to cry upon God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You need to turn to Him. Lord, help me.
We look to God for mercy. Mercy for God's goodness. Lord, have mercy on me. Mercy is a favor we don't deserve. Lord, mercy on me. Mercy on my house. Mercy on my husband. Mercy on my husband. Mercy on my children. Mercy on my church. Mercy on the pastor. Lord, have mercy. This man is praying. His eyes upon Jesus. Lord, mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me your favor. Because, Lord, without you, I cannot make it. Those at ease, that's the point. Those at ease affect all of us. The Bible says, we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Give us the other one. We are exceedingly filled with contempt. What is contempt? When we see a spiritual coldness, when we see the fire for God is not there, when we see that we are departing from God, and there seems to be something engulfing all of us, I call it spiritual vexation. Vexation of the spirit to see those who once walked with God are not walking again. Those who once served God, they had fire. They were zealous for God. Brothers and sisters, and now we do not care anymore for God. It hurts us. And if we don't watch it, we get mad, we get vexed, we get angry. Contempt is disregard, disrespect, disdain. We are full with disdain. And we say, why is that person no more walking with God? We must be careful not to condemn others. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Watch contempt. Because when we see spiritual at easeness, it affects us. How can we deal with spiritual at-easeness? Those that are filled with the Spirit of God will be dismayed, disappointed, and dejected at what is happening. It goes both ways. You love God. You are filled with contempt because you see people getting called for God. And they too are filled with contempt. Why are you so energetic about God? Why are you making a fuss? Those who don't care for God, why are you making a fuss for God? What it is to be filled with contempt, it is to feel secure and even to be haughty about it. It is to feel comfortable and satisfied and untouched and unconcerned about what should bring tears in our eyes. These are days that children of God need to fall down before God and pray and pray and cry. Of our spiritual condition, the fire is gone out. the hunger for God is not there. The thirst for God is not there. We need to call upon God and say, Lord, we should be serving God more. We should be able to do more for God. Therefore, the anger, the contempt, and we have to watch our hearts. That's why we have to pray, Lord, help me. Restore that fire in me, but the fire must not cause me to condemn others, but the fire must cause me to reach out to them. How can we feel comfortable and untouchable when there are so many things to be done for the Lord? It is to be in a state where we are satisfied with spiritual things as they are, even though they are wrong and not proper, and to accept the unacceptable. We are at ease with that. Accepting the unacceptable. We have reached to that stage. And as a church, we cannot do that. We cannot do that. We cannot accept the unacceptable. Are you with me today? So therefore, that fire has gone out. It's being replaced that we are at ease. I used to attend Bible college in an island I call St. Vincent, many years ago. And they used to process arrowroot, a root. They make arrowroot flour. And the factory where they process the arrowroot flour, when you pass by that factory, it stinks. The process, it stinks. And anyone who walks by within the close proximity would hold their nose and say, it becomes unbearable. But you know what happened? Those in it don't smell it. They get accustomed to it. They accept it. We have now accepting the unacceptable. It should cause us to fall down on our knees and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, change me. Lord, help me. Lord, revive me. Lord, revive your spirit, your people. Lord, work in us. We accept it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's why the psalmist say, Lord, have mercy. We cannot be spiritually at ease. Let everything pass by. There is a higher height, holiness, pleasing God. And we cannot be satisfied when there are so many things to do for God. May I bring to you, we have reached a stage where we are satisfied with our sins. I'm not going to point out sins to you, but I'm saying we have reached in a place where we are satisfied with our sins. It doesn't matter. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't hurt us. We don't feel a hurt. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. I have sinned against you. And now we call sin as though it's okay. It's not okay. It's an offense against God. And we have to fall on our knees and ask God for forgiveness. Amen? It is, we are satisfied with our disobedience. We are satisfied of not being a good husband. We are satisfied of not being a good wife. Yes, praise God. Amen, Joshua. Amen, Joshua. We have a preacher in the making. Preacher Joshua, amen. And I just cannot understand the disobedience, the disregard for God, the turning away from God, the backsliding condition of God's people, and we don't care. It hurts. It hurts. I have so much, I'll come to an end now. I'm coming to an end. I'm cutting this message. In the year 1912, RMS Titanic began its journey. At that time, it was the most modern ship, built with all the accommodations, 882 feet long, launched in 31st of March, 1911, and took its maiden journey. It had 2,224 passengers. Millionaires and people took that journey. The captain boasted, "My ship is indestructible. My ship is indestructible." "Captain, there is an iceberg. Iceberg ahead. Captain, iceberg ahead. Danger, 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 danger." "My ship is indestructible." "Captain, my ship is built to withstand. It is indestructible. Nothing can destroy it." You know what I will say? Those at ease spiritually disregard a lamp. Long time ago, we had kerosene lamps. And we used to light that. Put it by the bed. Not now. You don't have this. And those at ease will forget. There's a kerosene lamp. They have bedding pieces of cloth on the ground. And as they are sleeping, they would knock that kerosene lamp. Kerosene fell on the ground and would burn them. Burn the houses because they are at ease. They don't care. Things nice. When they're nice, look to God. Things may not always be nice. There is a time for everything. You may have your good days now. Don't take it easy. Don't believe it will last all the time. Make hay whilst the sun shines. Capitalize on it. Captain!
There is an iceberg ahead.
So you cannot, I don't have time to go further. I cannot see the impending danger. He's stepping, but he's stepping into limbo. He's stepping in destruction.
He's going to destroy himself. He cannot see the impending danger because he's at ease.
Homes are going down. We're losing our children. We're losing our husbands. Losing our wives. Losing our church because we take it easy.
Captain, iceberg ahead.
My ship is indestructible. You can only see the tip. But below, when the Titanic hit the iceberg, you know what happened? And they were so careless, they didn't care. They had only 20 lifeboats. Sufficient to carry only 1,178 people, whereby they had twice this amount of people on board. They were so sure nothing would happen. They were at ease.
Over 1,500
people perished. Wake up. Wake up. Lift up our eyes to God. Get back to God. Don't take things for granted. Look to God. Call upon God. Set the fire lighting. You must fan the flame. If we leave the flame alone, it will die.
The fire must never go out. Put more wood. Attend to the fire. Remove the ashes. Take care of it. The fire must be burning all the time.
Oh Lord, help us, help us. Today we have to rekindle the fire. Pastor, come over. We have to rekindle the fire. Give us a song, Pastor, is there?
Amen.
And I ask, you come to the altar this morning. Going to touch you, they lay hands upon you. The fire needs to come back.
Amen.
The divine play flame. The desire for God. The blessing of God upon your life. God in you. It has died. Flame it back. I want to fan that flame. I want to fan that flame. I want to blow the dust out. I want to blow the ashes out. I want to shake you.
Come on.
I want to remake you.
All right.
I want to remove the dross that prevents the fire from glowing because the ashes have covered up. Pastor, I'm here with you. Amen. Let's go.
All right. Bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Wow, what a warning. What a prophetic warning for us all and what a challenge for us all. Bless you, Pastor. We're going to invite the worship team to come on up and we're going to sing God Sent His Son. And as we do that, I'm going to ask anyone who would like to come up for us to pray, especially for healing this morning, to feel free to come on up during the song as we sing together. And we're going to have a special time of prayer over you. More importantly, though, there may be some who just want to have prayer for their situation,
yes.
Prayer for healing in their broken
healing.
Situation, healing from the hardness of our hearts.
Some are being burdened. Some are hurting.
Yes.
There are hurting people
yeah.
here.
Yeah, and if you want to come on up, we're going to pray especially for you. But especially those that need healing of some kind, come on up today. Circumstances that need healing.
Yes.
Worship team, come on up. Let's sing. Let's prepare. And those who would like to come up for prayer during this
time, all over the altar.
Just come on up. We'll pray for you.
Yes, all over the altar.
And then those who physically need healing as well, come on up. You'll be.